worship you. This call, Lord, the desire that you've put in our heart, Lord, truly, how precious this is, how precious you are, Lord. When we're in your presence, Lord, it's home. So just settling right here where we belong, at your feet, Lord, worshiping you, adoring you, praising you. Lord, we just ask that you would come and minister tonight. Touch your people, feed your people, correct your people, cleanse your people. Lord, it's you that we're looking to tonight. We ask that you would get me out of the way, Lord, and just have your way. Be lifted up and exalted. And we just give this time now and over to you and give you thanks for all this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate you. Everybody well? Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. He is good. He is good all the time. And boy, just want to share some things tonight. I know I'm not alone. And, you know, the scripture says there's no temptation taken but what's common to men. So I'm going to share some things. And thank you, Philip. I appreciate you, by the way. Everybody, appreciate your patience. We're still working out different things with the sound system, of course, and streaming and all that. So thank you. Well, I'll just start with this. I've been having a whole awful lot of conversations with the enemy, a lot. And that's okay. You know, I think we should look around, and I, you know, if you see me and I'm walking around, if you see me in public or private and my lips are moving, one of two things, I'm likely talking to myself, that happens a lot, or I'm talking back to the enemy. I hope we see that. I'm very serious. I hope, hey, Dad, what are you muttering? I'm talking to the enemy. I'm talking to the guy who's talking to me right now and pumping garbage into my head, you know? So we're going to talk about warfare tonight, spiritual warfare. It's very real. There's battles abroad, battles overseas, and we must not forget the greatest battle ever fought is taking place right now. So let's talk about these things. I shared this last time. I want to go over it again because it's good. I think it's just a good way to start from the message, greatest battle ever fought. I like this. He says, the other day, a few Sundays ago, there was a man that had a dream. He dreamed the devil was a little old bitty thing, run up to him, said, boo. Okay, do you hear that? He's been saying boo, and he jumped back, and the devil got bigger. Boo, and he jumped back, and the devil got bigger. Finally, the devil got as big as he was going to overcome him. He knew he had to fight with something, so he looked around. He couldn't find nothing to fight him with. He just picked up the Bible, and the devil said, boo. He said, boo, right back at him, and the devil got littler. There you go. Speak back. Speak back to your enemy. Out loud. He needs to hear from you. You have authority. You speak back to him. If Finally beat him. So he says he got littler and littler and littler and finally beat him to death with the word. Now he's calling out. I love this. I think this is, he says, you're a soldier, ain't you, sis? He says, take the word and say it's written. Amen. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. I'll sit right in this tabernacle and praise God for his goodness with the rest of them. Amen. It's battle time. It's a battle season. Let's be battle-minded. Know your enemy. So that's the basis. If you would stand with me, we'll open up with tonight with a scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 4. Oh, yeah, we need a good reminder. For verse 12, beloved, think it not strange. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. You can be seated. And I like that. I did have that in my notes here, but I love in the New Literal Translation, dear friends, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as though something strange were happening to you. It's Laodicea, it's late, it's dark, it's battle season. And I've always, going back into the scriptures, there's a passage that's always ministered and meant so much to me, the picture there with Jesus in Matthew 14 says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind was contrary. How fitting is that? You know, so is our enemy. So is life. The winds of life blow contrary. They're not helping you in your walk. The enemy is contrary. He's an adversary. He's going to counter and oppose you all day long. Recognize your battle. Wake up. Be alert. I wasn't tired. Derek sat down and gave me a... So I think, you know, just a good reminder in this hour, this age that we live in, a Laodicea breeds what? Relaxation, slumber, slothfulness, sleepiness. It's essential we don't forget we've got a battle, we've got an enemy. We know our battle. We know our enemy. Greatest battle of all times. Think of that. So let's anticipate adversity. Let's anticipate conflict. And with that, you know, I think it's so many times we're fighting, we're battling, we're struggling, and we think something's wrong. Something's wrong. No, it's not. No, this is normal. You are ordained for this life. You are ordained for this age. There is a battle. You are ordained to overcome. So don't think when I'm going through these trials and these hard seasons and these dry seasons that there's something wrong, because there's not. So watch those things. It's actually quite the opposite. It's very good. It's a sign. We'll get to that in a minute. Go through the scriptures. Think of the men of God. Think of Abraham as he was called of God. What followed? What was right next? Do you remember? Famine. There was a famine in the land. Jesus, filled with the Spirit, led where? Right after the filling of what? Right after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Wilderness to be tempted. So don't ever think that I'm struggling, I'm alone, it's a drought, I'm battling, that there's something wrong. There's nothing wrong. You're in good company, actually. So let's embolden ourselves tonight. I pray the Holy Spirit would do that in each heart, that you'd awaken us and open our eyes to the battle, to our enemy, and let's face him head on. Let's speak back to him. Let's expose him tonight. That's my prayer. And I think as the hour gets later, we can expect it more. That's okay. As we get older in our walk, does it get easier? No, it doesn't. Look at Jesus. Look at that. Those final hours, Gethsemane. See? So let's, again, encourage ourselves. Abraham, same thing. Go on down the line. Brother Branham, I love this. He kind of just, this is good for us to kind of refocus ourselves. He says, the world is falling apart. We want everything just so we can take it easy and retire and take life easy. Oh, Lord, help us. Life wasn't intended to be easy. Anything that's got life is a struggling. Look at the trees, how they struggle. Look at everything that's got life. It's a struggle. And we get some kind of a system that takes it easy, then we're wrong and we know there's something wrong. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's snap out of that. He says in the message, presuming, but what is it? It's a promise. God made a promise. Let's stay with it. No matter. He says, you've got to have a battle. There we go. If everything comes low, lazy, what are you overcoming? They overcome by the word of God and their testimony, the blood of Christ. You've got to overcome something and you've got to have some obstacles. There you go. Don't shrink back. Don't be discouraged. And people that differ and fuss with you and tell you you're holy rollers and things, that's put before you. That's a trial. If you haven't got that, you're not even in a battle. See, why did you join church? Why did you join the army and get training for it? To lay around and strut up and down the streets and show off? He says, that's the way Christians act. We want to be looked up to. You ain't going to be looked up to. You're going to be looked down on. It's okay. For all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Pick up the sword, cut everything free from you, and keep going. Lord, help us. So again, my prayer tonight that he would help us do that. Let's tighten on that armor, sharpen our swords, and let's be ready for battle. It's not meant to be easy, he said. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Some of these we'll quote to, some we'll turn to. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Toughen up. You're meant to be a soldier. You're called to be a soldier. You can look just through time and all the, you know, historians, Brother Derek, different ones maybe who know history much better than I do, but you see the nations, great armies that fell. They did not often recognize their enemy, and they failed to anticipate attack. They became complacent. They became lazy. They became overconfident. And we, as in our lives, in this day, again, it's this latest sea and age. We got to watch for these things. Be mindful of the relaxation that this day breeds in us. We know 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, vigilant." Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let's turn back to the Old Testament, to Zechariah chapter 3. Brother Derek shared this on his Bible study last week. I loved it, and it was a blessing, and just a good reminder that kind of fit right in here, I thought, so beautifully. Just really striking to me. Zechariah chapter 3. Give you just a minute. It's right before Malachi. Zechariah 3 and verse 1. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Oh, look who else is right there. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. I think, wow, think of that. In the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the angel of the Lord, and there's Satan right there. Can I be in communion with my Lord, caught up in heavenly places, my heavenly Father speaking in one ear and my enemy speaking in the other? Absolutely. It's been happening since Eden. Pay attention. Listen to your enemy. Watch for these things. Think of Jesus, his most private time with his disciples. Who was right there? Satan. So let's wake up to these things. Be mindful of the battle. Faith, your faith is meant for overcoming. Your faith isn't given you for strolling amongst the lilies and the flowers. It's meant for the battlefield. You rugged, rugged soldiers. Turn with me. We're not just back a little bit. Let's go to Psalms chapter 149. All right, sorry. Yeah, and we'll just start with verse 1 there. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I think what a beautiful reminder, what an essential reminder sometimes when you're struggling and you're warring, that tactic, that tool of praise is so essential. When you're maybe at your weakest, when you're going through a dark time, praise the Lord. Open your mouth, sing praises to him. Amen. Verse 2, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man. I'm in the wrong verse. I'm sorry. Chapter, I mean. Well, I'll start over. Verse, pardon? I'm in 149. I was reading from 146. That's good, too. We can read it all. I mean, it's all the word of God. All right, let's try that again. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Starts out just the same. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Amen. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And verse 6, here it is. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. So many things we can draw from that. I love that, but let's praise him. And yet, I'm armed, I'm equipped, I'm ready for battle. I'm in his presence, but I'm ready and I'm willing to fight. I'm watching for my enemy. I like this. Brother Branham says in the testimony, Raising Dead Boy, he says, there's a Palestine. I swore to Abraham 400 and something years ago that I was going to give it to him. I said, it's yours. I give it to you, to your seed. I give it to you. He's like, now here's what I want you to see. Isn't it strange? He said, it's yours, but it's just as full as Hittites and Jebusites and Canaanites and all kinds of enemies in there. They're walled up heavy. Now it's yours. Go take it. It's yours. Now I give it to you, but you don't get it. See, that's the people today. If you'd only see when I tell you about divine healing, you'd say, well, Brother Branham, look, I was prayed for last night. I can't move my hand anymore. That don't have one thing to do with it, not a thing. It's yours. It's yours. Go get it. Sure, God give it to you. He says them Israelites. Why, sure, God didn't just get them up there and take his brush and sweep them all out. Now come on in. Here you are. Sit down. God never did God do that. He goes on, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by works. He sees you've got to do it. And you have to fight for every inch of ground that you have. Every man in here that's born again of the Spirit of God knows that you've had to fight for every inch of ground. Toe the mark with Satan. Isn't that right, friends? This is not a picnic. This is a battleground. Here we go. I like this. We never come here to eat cookies. Oh my, we're in a battle. Boy, talk about, he says, can you imagine the United States Army training a man to sit around and eat cookies and so forth? Why, he gives him a uniform and his gun and he trains him to go out there and fight and defend the nation, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to defend our God. Given rights. That's what God said. It's ours. Let's stand right toe to toe with Satan. So again, let's do that. God, encourage us. Recognize your enemy. Listen for your enemy. Know his tactics. The John 10:10 says, enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So watch in your heart, watch in your life, watch for those things. Revelations 12:10, he says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast out, which accused them before God day and night. Day and night, think of that. So he's that accuser, he's that false witness. Proverbs 14 verse 5 says a false witness, or a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Who is the faithful and true witness? It's Jesus Christ. False one? The enemy, the devil. He's speaking lies. He's the father. Think of that, the father of lies, the source, the original. We can trace it back to him. So when you hear those things, when he's speaking to you, call him out. Speak back to him. Recognize that he is the father of lies. Let's turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. There just is kind of an example there. Sorry, 16:21. For from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the scribes, of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Wow. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. So amazing. Recognizing that thought, before a word is spoken, it's a thought. Where did that thought come from? So Jesus perfectly discerning that and credited that back to Satan, said, get thee behind me, Satan. So we've got to recognize that, as well as 1 John 4 and verse 1 says, believe not every spirit. You think about that. Think about that just for a minute. What is in this room? What's all around us all the time? Spirits. A body is without a spirit is just dead. It's that spirit, that life behind an individual that is uttering something. Listen for these things. Pay attention to what comes into your heart, what comes into your mind, and speak back. Rebuke the devil. Just as I was kind of going through some of these things, I like to do this. Get into the Word. Get into the Word and feed on it. The messages I was searching and drawing from this. Join with me and go into some of these. They're so good, so beautiful. So here's a few. The conflict between God and Satan. Victory Day, of course, greatest battle ever fought. Putting on the whole armor of God. So just very much battle-themed messages. If you want to add them to your and very, very long list of messages to listen to, I'd encourage you. And again, join me. Just as we were going through this and what I just read in Matthew chapter 16, I want to share this because I think this has helped me, and I think this is a beautiful example. Brother Branham just being that word prophet, taking us back into the Word. What he says here is amazing. It's striking, and it's exactly what we just read. From questions and answers, we've been through this. You know this. Brother Branham, please explain how a person knows if he's thinking his own thoughts or if the devil is placing thoughts in his own mind to make him think wrong, especially if you know you don't want to think them. Does that ring a bell? Sound familiar? About a dozen or 100 times a day? Then if it's contrary to the Word, it's the devil's thinking. Lord, help us. If it's with the Word, it's God's thinking. If it's the wrong thoughts, it's the devil. If it's good thoughts of the Word and God, it's God's thinking. Then the person that follows up that says, if the case may be that the devil is placing thoughts in your mind about a certain thing, how may it be overcome or got rid of? Here we go. Take the vice versa from it. If the devil makes you think that you're a Christian and he tries to make you think you're not a Christian, just take the vice versa. Say, I am a Christian. Speak back to him. Talk back. Exactly. Boo. I am a Christian. As long as your experience matches in God's word, say, I'm a Christian. Anything else the same way. When you answer this, it goes on here, please pray for me to overcome this as I'm not by myself. Now, Brother Branham responds. He says, God, grant your overcoming ever who you are. May your just thoughts go right back on the other side. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Satan, you have no hold on me. Amen. Remember what he says next? Frankly, I'm standing here right now saying the same thing. Keep from fainting right here at the pulpit. 4 or 5 times I've almost pitched over. It's real. Your enemy is real. The battle is real. So he goes on. He says, that's the truth. God knows that's right. Lord, help us. So, do you want to? You want the mic real quick? Just you.
Sure. What you said, the prophet battling while he was preaching, reminded me of a testimony of Brother Billy when he came out to South Dakota, that his daddy told him that when he was preaching the message, Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said Satan was trying to kill him.
Mm.
He said he was doubled over on the inside in pain. He says his feet were drawn up in knots in his shoes and his stomach was tied in knots, and he thought Satan was really trying to, he didn't want that message out. So battles in the spiritual realm are...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Wake up, pay attention. Let's fight back. Fight back that your enemy. Yeah, and I love, thank you, Sister Pam and Sister Lenore, the exchange there on Grace Ministries was perfect. And I was already going in this direction, already feeling these things, and already, but that just fit right in yesterday. So, yeah, that was good. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's turn there just as a good reminder. Second Corinthians 10, and we'll just start at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, too, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every other thought. No. Every thought. There's no compromise in the Spirit of God. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 1 John 4:18 says, let's turn there. 1 John 4:18. So you watch that enemy. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. I like that. There's no room in here for me and you both. Get out. So I recognize the enemy. I recognize what he's injecting, and we cast out. There's no compromise. Get out. There's only room for one of us, and you're not welcome. We are encouraged. You are encouraged to be, well, if I can use it this way, very aggressive and violent with the enemy, and you're talking back and entering into these things. Lord, help us. We're ordained to overcome. That means there's a battle. So let's be soldiers. Let's fight. Romans 5:17, just quoting some of these here now. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign now, reign in life by one, by Jesus Christ. So him in you, him through you, there is victory. There's overcoming. You are ordained to that. And it's a battle. It's a struggle. What the scripture tells us in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or a sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. Fight. Fight back. And I like this. Just Brother Branham, he says here, again, as I mentioned a minute ago, let's you're encouraged to deal violently in your aggressively with the battles and things in your mind. Brother Branham, he says here in the Message of Shame, God, so it looks like when you pray for people, you apologize. Mr. Devil, would you please move over and let me? He says, nothing. Faith has gotten muscles and hair on its chest. When it speaks, everything else shuts up. Don't go in, Mr. Devil, will you move out? Get out of here. I'm a son of God, commissioned of God. Leave them alone. That moves. He says, you have no apology to the devil, nothing to do with him, not ashamed of the word of God, not ashamed of your commission, not ashamed of who we are. Get out of here, Satan. Just a good, from the Smyrnian church age, Hebrews 5, verse 8, he's quoting here, he says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In plain language, the very character of Jesus. Now he's talking about suffering here, and I'm kind of tying that in. He was perfected by suffering. According to Paul, he's left his church a measure of suffering too, that by their faith in God while suffering him for him would come to a place of perfection. That's encouraging. It's part of what, again, what he's ordained for us. Why did he want this? He says, my brother, and he's quoting James, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So again, faith has got to be tried. Faith is going to be exercised. Don't shrink back. Don't be alarmed. Don't be discouraged when you have trials and troubles and battles. You're not alone. Embrace, expect adversity, expect the attacks, be ready for it. It's a battle season. It's let's be armed mentally with these realities. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I like that. Why does he stand by? Is the reason is in Romans 8, 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs of with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Probably know where I'm going with this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason is that a character is... Simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic, but power with character is fit to rule. There you are. That's what you're meant for. That's why you're going through what you're going through. That's why the battles, the things are the way they are. You're given something. You've got to overcome. Don't be alarmed. Don't be discouraged. Recognize. Or surprised. Yep. Amen. Let's just look at, this has encouraged me. I just turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to kind of wind up with this. To me, this is always so encouraging. You know, the world, the natural mind would look at so much of this and say, this is defeat. No, this isn't defeat. They overcome these. So I'm sorry. We'll drop into verse 32. It says, and what What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David and all, and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Again, the natural mind would say defeat, defeat, defeat. And no, they overcame, they overcame, they overcame. They were victorious over their own flesh, over their own circumstances. I love, as the Apostle Paul says in the end of Romans 16. Let's just turn there. I'm sorry. Right, where is it? Here we go, verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under whose feet?
Yours.
You. I love that. That belongs to you. You will defeat him. You will overcome. You are part of one body. That's his body. And he's under you. You will defeat him. And he's going to be under your feet. Amen. Mighty men of valor, as I look out across you all tonight, and I want to just say that, you mighty men, you mighty women of valor, the Lord is with you. Don't be discouraged. If you're battling, it's okay. You're called, you're ordained to overcome. Don't be distraught. Don't be discouraged. If you're fighting and there's, again, drought or dryness or things like that, it's part of what this walk entails, includes. Know your enemy, watch for his voice, listen to him, listen for him, pay attention, and speak back to him. So I hope somebody can ask you one of these days, you know, why are your lips moving? What are you saying? Oh, I'm speaking back to this guy that's talking to me right now. So let's dismiss him. I love the words of Joshua 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong. There you go, church. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. There's battles, there's wars. Russia, Ukraine, Israel, there's a greater battle in your heart. Taking place in our hearts and minds. Watch out for that. Be mindful of your enemy, brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the way you come and you encourage us for the victory that is in Christ Jesus, Lord, and the overcoming power that we have by your Holy Spirit and by your word. Father, we just pray that you would, again, minister to these things into the hearts of your people. And each one, as we maybe take inventory and we raise up and we say, we see the things of the enemy and we bind Satan, we reject him, his voice, his influence, his lies. He has no part in us. Just reject him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, just be glorified and lifted up tonight and greatly exalted and magnified as we pray. Commit the rest of this evening now into your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing Victory is Mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. know, just one more thing real quick, to maybe for the young people, just be encouraged tonight. I hope this helps you, and I don't ever want anybody, and the young people, old people, anybody in between, to look around and think that, you know, so-and-so looks perfect, so-and-so doesn't have any struggles, so-and-so has it all figured out. We're all standing by His grace. We're all fighting every step of the way. You can come to each other. You can turn to each other. You can encourage each other. You're not alone. All right, so let's just remember that. Let's, in the handouts, number 46, in Jesus' name, we press on. Bless you. Just pray that you're encouraged. Fight. Don't give up. Be strong. Be courageous. Recognize your enemy. Anticipate. I say run to battle. Run into him. Run and meet your enemy. You're an overcomer. Yep. Speak back. Speak back. I want to see lips moving as around us. All right, God bless you. Brother Derek, would you come and close in prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may you teach us the weapons of our warfare, being mighty, not of this world. Lord, may you teach us to use them. May we equip ourselves for the battle and not be discouraged. May you be with us as we go and bless us as we re-enter the battlefield. Help us to be faithful and counted worthy, that when we can get home, you'd say, well done, you good and faithful soldier. You fought the battle, you never gave up. Watch over us until we meet again.
Amen.
We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you.